You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show was first aired September 17, 2023. Since mid-January of 2023, following the resignation of NDP MPP Laura May Lindo, the riding of Kitchener Centre has been without representation in the Ontario Legislature. While not disrupting the balance of power in government, the Conservatives deem the by-election will occur in January 2024, the maximum time allowed by the Elections Act for the seat to remain empty. Currently, there is no candidate for the Conservative Party in the by-election, while the NDP are running Debbie Chapman and the Liberal Party is represented by Kelly Stice. On September 8th, in the adjacent Waterloo riding, which is held by the NDP's Catherine Fife, Doug Ford held the political outreach and fundraising event FordFest at Binghamton's. Binghamton's also borders the Kitchener-Conestoga riding, which is held by PC MPP Mike Harris Jr., who welcomed FordFest into the region, telling CKMS News in a statement, quote, FordFest is a free, nonpartisan community event hosted by Ontario's Ford family, unquote. And, Harris added, quote, FordFest offers a unique opportunity for attendees to connect with their elected representatives, unquote. In a piece released by CKMS News on September 8th, Waterloo Regional Labour Council President Jeff Pellick spoke about why folks were heading to protest at FordFest. You can listen to that whole interview at radiowaterloo.ca/news. Today's show will feature interviews with Ashlyn Clancy and Debbie Chapman about FordFest and the Conservative government, the upcoming by-election and what issues their campaigns are focusing on, and the growing calls for accountability around the Greenbelt scandal. Both the NDP and Green Party candidates said the lands removed from Greenbelt protection should be immediately returned to their protected status. The Liberals have also called for the Greenbelt lands to be returned and for accountability for the actions of the Conservatives. Since the interviews, the Conservatives have announced that the sites will be quote-unquote re-evaluated. In response to calls for Ford to step down over the Greenbelt scandal, MPP Harris told CKMS News that the Conservative government will continue with their plan to build homes on quote-unquote non-sensitive Greenbelt lands, claiming that this was, quote, requested by many municipalities, unquote. Harris concluded, quote, I want to emphasize that under the continued leadership of our premier, our government will prioritize addressing the housing crisis, ensuring more people have a place to call home, unquote. Now for the interviews with Ashlyn Clancy of the Green Party and the NDP's Debbie Chapman. I asked both Clancy and Chapman about what they think of FordFest and what their parties have been up to in the region and the Kitchener Centre riding. First, Chapman.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, as you noted, there is a by-election coming up in the riding in Kitchener Centre, and the Conservatives have yet to announce a candidate. So our first thoughts were that probably they were going to make the announcement at FordFest, but with the Greenbelt scandal now, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We don't know, of course, that they would have to answer that question. But I would assume that their presence in the area is because of the by-election, which is fair. They probably had it booked before the scandal blew up on them. But that doesn't mean that they won't, of course, use it as a distraction. I mean, the Greenbelt thing has become such a big issue right now across the province. And I see it as I knock on doors in the riding, people have it forefront on their minds. So it's not something that is being ignored by the population, by the certainly the residents in Kitchener Centre. It's certainly front and center in their minds. I know there's a protest, a rally scheduled to happen on Binghamton Park Road, I think it's called, on the same time that the FordFest is happening, because people just want to get out there and show that they're not happy with what's happening.
Is the NDP doing anything specifically in response to FordFest?
We're running our own campaign. All of the NDP caucus is currently in Kitchener Centre holding a retreat. So there are events being organized today and tomorrow. Not necessarily response to the Board Fest, because we have our own agenda, right? We are the official opposition, and what we're doing is trying to, come up with the best response to the issues that are being raised and the concerns that people are having. So, is it a coincidence that we're here during Ford Fest? I would say that's not why we're here. We're here because, or the party is here because we've got a by-election. And so it seemed like a good opportunity and a good place to hold the retreat.
Now, Ashlyn Clancy.
Well, as a political party, we always want to show that we're building community. So we've had a variety of events over the course of the many months. We started our campaign in May. I was nominated early May. We knock on every door and then again. So, we just want to be the yin to the yang of the Ford Fest and create energy, bring people in to show them what our campaign is all about, get people involved. I think people find these days when there's so much with the word crisis at the end of it, housing crisis, opioid crisis, climate crisis, folks are looking for an antidote. And I believe that our campaign is just that. We bring people together with shared values, hope for the future, and Green Fest is about building that community, inviting people in to learn more about what we're about, celebrate, and create an inclusive space. The Ford government, they have some tools in their toolbox that they use to get their word out. There was a poll done to say, would you vote PC if the mayor was a candidate? And so there's lots of kind of games and marketing strategies that they use. We believe that by showing up at your door and listening to you, that's our number one campaign strategy. They don't have a candidate yet. It says a lot about the effort they put in to meeting and listening to voters, right? They won't knock on your door. I can almost assure you. I don't know who their candidate is. I don't know what their platform is right now. I don't know where their office is. So there's lots of parts to the campaign that are missing that I don't think any amount of hot dogs and text messages is really going to offset.
Asked about the Greenbelt land deals and calls for Doug Ford's resignation, Chapman and Clancy both shared the call for accountability and for the delisted land to be returned to Greenbelt protection, noting that there is enough land already to build the required housing without touching the Greenbelt. First, Clancy. As Doug Ford has said, if the buck stops at him, do you think he should resign?
I think he should. Whether that will happen or not is obviously in the air. I think we'll need to continue to push for this investigation because I don't think otherwise the truth won't come to light and accountability won't be had. As long as these lands can be developed, then there's been no lessons learned. I don't believe that we've gone far enough in terms of restoring trust and rectifying the mistakes made as said, or this poor corrupt process, right? I think they want distractions. I think they don't want, I don't think they anticipated maybe. I think they thought it would die down, but I think they underestimate what this means to people, and I think they keep on pursuing, like they haven't put the lands back. Why? Like that's the number one. Like if you make a mess, clean it up, and cleaning it up means putting it back. The people have spoken that they want the land returned to the Greenbelt. And I think we want an inquiry, a further inquiry into, the legal dealings. This feels like insider trading, but I think we want the Greens are calling for the land to be put back. The Greens are calling for a proper investigation. More and more layers are coming to light. Even in 1 week, I think they want to create a positive spin. They want to distract from the scandal and the damage control, right? But I don't think people are so easily swayed. I'm sure some folks will go, some folks will have fun, and some folks will continue to support the PCs. But we are hearing at the doors, even from longtime conservative voters, that they feel lied to, that trust has been broken, and they want accountability. And I don't think the hot dogs are going to change that.
Now, Debbie Chapman.
The next thing that has to happen is the RCMP has to share their findings as far as possible criminal activities that have taken place. So, of course, that would have to be waited for. Do I think he should resign? Personally, this would not be a party position, but I think he should. I think there is enough evidence to show that what he's done is words, and people have lost trust in this government, and people are angry. So what the party is calling for is the recalling of the legislature, and that these lands be returned back to the Greenbelt, as he had said all along. He would not touch these lands, and the review that he's proposing is actually quite problematic, because it could actually result in the opening up of more land in the in the Greenbelt for development. And this isn't about affordable housing. He often likes to frame it in that way, but it's not about this at all. There are many tools. Well, first of all, there's plenty of land, developable land, without touching the Greenbelt to meet the targets of 1.5 million houses in the province. So that's not the reason why they're being open. They're being open because they're his people, and he wants to, keep them his people, and allow them to benefit from these lands in the ways that we've seen happen. So I think they're, this is all, it seems kind of surreal the way this is all unfolded, and to think that this is a democratically elected government. It's not the type of government that I want representing me, that's for sure, because people no longer trust what he says and how things are done.
Chapman goes into what policies the NDP would put in place if elected, and how her time on City Council has given her insight into larger problems in housing development.
And I should add that, there's so many other tools that can be used and need to be implemented to ensure that we have the affordable housing that we need. Not just the housing that we need, but affordable. Like we have a homelessness crisis across the province like we've never seen in this province before. So people are being left behind. We have rent evictions that are out of control. The price of housing is out of control. And that's what needs to be addressed here. And there are tools that the governments have to do that, yet they're not being used. So, for example, inclusionary zoning is one of the tools, and the province set limits to what that looks like. So only 5% of the new units would be affordable. And they classify or define affordable as 80% of market value. There's nothing affordable about that. The people that are being left homeless, or people that are making a full-time minimum wage, are not going to benefit from that sort of policy. It needs to be opened up, like 80% of the units be affordable. And I would say affordable should be set at 30% of a full-time minimum wage, which works out to about $800 a month in rent. And that would be affordable. So, and it's very difficult to find rents of that at that rate right now, because, we talk about affordable as 80% of market value, which, say, for a one bedroom apartment, what I consider affordable would be about $800. What this inclusionary zoning bylaw would consider affordable is about $1,500 a month. So almost double. People cannot afford. And more people are going to be left out. And so if we're serious about housing, first and foremost, we need to solve the affordable housing crisis. We need to introduce an inclusionary zoning bylaw that is actually going to benefit the people that are being left behind and are ending up in the streets without homes. And we need to send money down from the provincial government and the federal government to build affordable housing. And that is not happening at a rate that needs to be done. And now developers, even in the region, there was just a thing before Heritage, the Heritage Committee, the other evening, and they talked about this six-story affordable building. And I pressed them on. I said, so what do you mean by affordable? And they said, well, 80, or like, I forget the numbers. Actually, I have it in front of me. Hang on. They said, well, there's going to be a total of, and I might have the numbers wrong, but approximately 59 units altogether, 37, or 9 of them are going to be deeply affordable, 11 medium market affordable, and the rest are market value. So that building is not affordable, right? Yes, we have 9 deeply affordable units that are going to be built, but why not make the whole building affordable, right? Deeply affordable, so that we can get more people housed that are living in very precarious situations. So, yeah, opening up the Greenbelt is not going to solve this. Those are going to be luxury houses, condos, who knows what, but it's not going to be the type of housing that is desperately needed across the province. And as I said, there's plenty of developable land within the urban boundaries without opening up agricultural land or the Greenbelt to build.
And I know that's been a long struggle in Waterloo Region when a decade ago when the regional council tried to set the boundary limits and there was pushback from developers to keep building over the farmlands.
And we shouldn't be caving. We should be standing firm, right? Because, as I said, there's no need for this. And, the interesting thing that's going on right now across the region, and I assume across the province, is we have thousands and thousands of units that have been approved by council, and yet they're not being built. And it all comes down to profitability. So, and that we have no tools as a municipality to say to a developer, okay, we've approved this development. You have, 6 months to put the shovels in the ground. So we have no tools to say that. So they can sit vacant, empty, or maybe there's still a building there, but without touching for years.
What could a provincial NDP do to make that possible, to force the building of units that have been approved or the type of buildings that are being built?
Inclusionary zoning is something that would force developers to build affordable housing with or affordable units within every new residential build. Right now, the province has set that as an option only within the major transit station areas. What the NDP could do is open up the inclusionary zoning bylaw across the board, not just in the major transit station areas. So if you want to build a tower out in Dune, you would also there be required to have a certain number of the units be affordable. And what I would like to see the NDP and even this government do is to redefine what we mean affordable. So those are tweaks that can be made. And in fact, I would say let's not stop at 5% of the units being affordable. Let's make sure that the municipalities, based on their needs, because municipalities know very well what their needs are and what their homeless population is and what the affordable housing waiting lists look like, let them, based on those needs, set those percentages. So 5% in my mind is far too low. We should be up around the 20% right now of those units should be affordable in perpetuity and not for 25 years as for defined affordability or the timelines. So, there are lots of tools that aren't being used that should be being used that would force certainly the building of these affordable units. As far as when buildings are being built, you may be familiar with the Schneider meat factory lot up on Portland. So that has sat there for years. I want to say almost 8 years, if not more, since it was approved by council. And it still just sits there and very little gets done. So, when I say 6 months, shovels should be in the ground, maybe that's too fast, but certainly, it shouldn't be 8 or 10 years before there's movement on these places. We need housing built. And we've got to find a way to require, like to set a guideline. So we have guidelines set handed down by the province that say once you receive an application, you have 90 days to process it and approve it. But we have nothing we can turn around and say to a developer, build.
In closing, Chapman was asked what is going on next with the NDP.
We want to bring this government, make them accountable, right? And I think the party's doing a great job. I think our new leader, Mart Stiles, is, full of new ideas and energy. And it's not just about how we can the Conservatives to account, but also looking forward and how we can make Ontario, livable for everybody. And so that's our goal. We just don't think that the way that Conservatives are approaching things right now is the right way. Calling for another review could result in opening up some further parts of the green belt for developers. And we know there's a problem. We know there's a problem with the process. So let's just be transparent and be honest and transparent with what we're doing. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Finally, Clancy called for folks to get involved in these issues around the Greenbelt and housing during this, quote, important time in history, unquote.
I know everybody has a lot going on in their lives. I know folks are busy. And that politics seems overwhelming or boring or uninteresting. But this is a really, really important time for people to get out and vote and get involved. You know, we only have one climate. You know, we only have one planet. You know, this is the future of housing for young people, for seniors. And so I really hope people try to get involved and see how that feels, see what works for them. There's lots of ways people can participate in the campaign. And so I hope that they will give it a shot, you know, because I think we're at a really important time in history. And I think it'll be nice to be part of the right side of that history.
You were listening to an interview with Kitchener City Councillor and Kitchener Centre Green Party candidate Ashlyn Clancy. Along with Kitchener City Councillor and Kitchener Centre NDP candidate Debbie Chapman. They were discussing FordFest and the Conservative government, the upcoming by-election and what issue their campaigns are focusing on, and the growing calls for accountability around the Greenbelt scandal. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.